We're talking about medical malpractice in Wisconsin here in the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin's Injured Patients and Families Compensation Fund guarantees payment of all economic damages. That means medical costs. But when it comes to pain and suffering, the limit for non-economic damages is $750,000. And this compensation fund recently paid out its second largest settlement award to a Fitchburg family. Are you a doctor or another healthcare worker? What do you think of Wisconsin's medical malpractice laws? Do they provide enough protection for you and your patients? What questions do you have about medical malpractice cases here in Wisconsin? We're at 800-642-1234, so you can join in. David Wahlberg is a health and medicine reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal. David, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, it's good to be here.
Well, let's start with this most recent lawsuit that resulted in the second largest award from the state's malpractice insurance fund. Can you tell us what the family claimed went wrong with their care?
Yeah, so this is a family from Fitchburg near Madison, and they had a newborn, 6-week-old boy who had surgery for a birth defect a few years ago at the Children's Hospital at UW Health. And the surgery went fine, but in terms of fixing the birth defect, but he had some problems during anesthesia, apparently from low blood pressure, and suffered a permanent brain injury from that.
What did the family say happened to their child as a result of this surgery? Where is this child today?
Yeah, I wasn't able to speak to the family directly, but their attorney said the boy, who is now 3, is blind and can't walk or speak and will likely function permanently at the level of a young child.
What do we know about the physicians who handled this surgery, and what about them?
Yeah, so there were sort of at least two doctors involved in this case. One was a resident or a doctor in training who is near the very end of his training in anesthesia. And then, as all residents have, there's a supervising doctor, or what they call an attending. And so the claim, that the lawsuit was claiming that the resident was responsible for this injury. But the state, and actually the resident himself, argued that it should have been the supervising doctor that was held responsible.
So this physician failed to react to this prolonged low blood pressure readings during the surgery. Is that it?
Right. Yes. And that sustained low blood pressure is believed to have caused a permanent brain injury from a lack of oxygen.
So a lawsuit was brought. Do we know if Wisconsin's medical board took any action against these physicians?
As of now, I believe no. And the way the medical board is set up, they generally react or respond to complaints made against doctors. That can be done by a patient who maybe has a complaint against a doctor or a coworker. But often the complaints come in as lawsuit determinations, whether that's a jury award or a settlement. So the fact that the settlement was just made last month, that in and of itself would act as a complaint against at least the one doctor, the resident in this case. And so it's likely that that the state would be looking at whether that's something to discipline or not.
So how did the doctors and the state's malpractice insurance fund respond to the family's claims?
Yeah, so one argument the state fund made was that they believe that the supervising doctor should be held responsible. And if that were to be proven, that would bring into play another cap that we have in the state. So for state employees, and that includes UW doctors, they have a cap of $250,000 for all kinds of damages. That's economic and non-economic. So that's quite a bit less than the $750,000 cap for just non-economic.
And that's quite a bit of difference there. Just a quarter million for all damages. Do we know did the doctors acknowledge the mistakes were made in the procedure? How did the hospital respond?
I've read part of the court file, but not the entire thing. So I don't know all the details of how both parties responded. But at least with my recent story about the settlement payments, UW said, they had a statement saying that they thought the payment was fair to all parties involved, and they expressed their deepest compassion to the family for what happened.
We're talking about medical malpractice cases here in Wisconsin with David Wahlberg. He is a health and medicine reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal. You can join in 800-642-1234. Are you a physician or another healthcare worker? What do you think of Wisconsin's medical malpractice laws? Do they provide enough protection for you and your patients? What questions do you have about medical malpractice cases here in Wisconsin? We're at 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. So, David, the State Insurance Fund agreed to settle this case, pay the family $22.5 million. How did they come to that amount? How did they come to that settlement?
Yeah, so as we discussed, there is a cap of $750 for non-economic damages, which is essentially pain and suffering, but there is no cap for economic damages. So the vast majority of that $22.5 million is economic damages, and it's chiefly for future health care for that child. It's a very young child, and he's still expected to live well into his 50s or beyond. So that's quite a bit of care right there. And then the other factor that's usually brought in is lost wages. So, earnings that that child would have made as an adult that he likely won't now. And so most of that $22.5 million is put into two funds to pay for care for the child. In this case, the family, the parents, got just a little bit less than $2 million of that. And then there was about $4.5 million for legal fees, attorney's fees.
There was this national study a decade ago looking at malpractice jury trials, found that doctors almost always win when there is weak evidence of negligence. Doctors win half the time, even when there is strong evidence against them. Does this sound correct to you as you look at malpractice cases?
Yes, and I think that's true, and perhaps even more so true in Wisconsin. The last time I kind of looked closely at this a few years ago, I think doctors won about two-thirds of the cases versus one-third for the plaintiffs, cases that went to a jury trial. I think generally people have a lot of trust in doctors and believe they're, trying to do the right thing. So they tend to, that trust comes out in the way juries decide cases a lot of times.
We're talking about medical malpractice here in Wisconsin with David Wahlberg as our guide. He's a Wisconsin State Journal health and medicine reporter. You can join in with your questions, your perspectives on medical malpractice, 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about Wisconsin's oversight of physicians and other health professionals? Do you think the state is doing enough to prevent or stop poor medical care? Have you filed a complaint against a doctor? What was that experience like? What was the process? Call in. You can also tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll get back to this conversation in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're looking at medical malpractice cases here in Wisconsin, how the compensation fund works. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The compensation fund provides unlimited coverage for economic damages, but limits payouts for non-economic damages to $750,000. Some researchers say medical errors should be the third leading cause of death in our country after cancer and heart disease. They estimate it accounts for about 250,000 deaths a year due to medical mistakes. Have you filed a complaint against a physician? What was your experience with the process? Did you choose to file a malpractice lawsuit? Why or why not? We're at 800-642-1234. David Wahlberg is a health and medicine reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal. He stays with us. Let's bring in Chris now, joining us from Hillboro. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
In 2001, my dad was put into the hospital because of he was having chest pains. So they wanted to monitor him overnight. And that night, the nurses had called the doctor to let them know that he was in a lot of pain, and the doctor never came in. He actually told them to tell him to relax, give him soothing music, and they medicated him a little bit. The next morning, we got a phone call saying they were Metaflighting him to La Crosse, and he died 11 minutes up. And the cause was he had so many heart attacks throughout the night that his heart just couldn't handle it anymore. And when we talked to the doctor, he said he was sorry he didn't come in. We did have an investigation done. They said they were appalled by the practices. But since I was an adult child, because I was over 18, and my parents had separated, that we could not sue. And to this day, I have no trust in our medical system. And being a special ed teacher, I love kids, and I know doctors play an important part in their health, but when you go through something like that, you just, it's hard to forgive.
Chris, thank you for bringing your story. David, what do you hear there?
Well, that brings up two points to me. One is a lawsuit is one way to seek a remedy to an unfortunate situation like that, and I'm sorry to hear about that. Another one is to file a complaint with the state and see if the medical board might take an action against that doctor. The other point that brings up, Chris, I believe your name was, you're correct that Wisconsin is one of the few states that doesn't allow adult children to sue on behalf of their parents for malpractice. Likewise, adults can't sue on behalf of their parents can't sue on behalf of their adult children. And just to back up a minute, that's one of basically three factors in Wisconsin that doctors would say make it a good place to practice for them. Malpractice attorneys and patients like Chris might say it makes it a difficult place to get, to get made whole after an injury. So the other point, the other factors are the fund, which we've been talking about, because that limits liability for doctors, and then also these caps, and there's a few different kinds of caps in the state.
So, David, why do we see these caps, and do other states have similar limits?
Yeah, I don't know what the latest numbers are exactly, but many other states have caps, but not all. There are some states that don't have any caps, and the amounts of the caps range. And so in Wisconsin, we have, I don't want to get too complicated here, but we have three different kinds of caps. We've already talked about two of them, $750,000 for non-economic damages for most doctors, $250,000 for all damages for UW doctors. And then there's another kind of cap for wrongful death cases, which are sometimes filed instead of malpractice. That's $500,000 for adults or children and $350,000 for parents. So other states, or adults, I should say, many other states have some kind of cap, but few states have all three factors that I was talking about earlier, the fund, the caps, and some restrictions on who can sue.
And last year, our state Supreme Court rejected a constitutional challenge to limit malpractice awards. What was the court's argument there for upholding these limits?
Yeah, so that involved a case of a woman in Milwaukee County back in 2011. She had abdominal pain. The story is a little bit similar to the one we just heard from your listener. She went to the hospital and they ended up sending her away. She went back another day or two later to a different hospital, and they eventually found that she had sepsis, or a body-wide systemic blood infection from, I think it was strep. And she ended up going into a coma. She ended up having gangrene on her legs and arms, and they had to amputate all four limbs. So quite a severe injury. She was about 50 years old. The jury in that case, there was a lawsuit filed, and the jury awarded about $25 million total. About $9 million of that was economic damages, which isn't limited. And then the other $16 million or so was for the non-economic damages, pain and suffering, and also loss of companionship for her husband. That should be, according to law, that's supposed to be reduced to $750,000 because of the cap. But the judge in that case said, no, this case shows that the cap is unconstitutional. This woman suffered so much damage that you can't just give her a tiny fraction of what the jury felt she needed. So that went to an appeals court. The appeals court agreed with the judge that the cap should be thrown out. And then last year, as you mentioned, I think in July, the state Supreme Court ruled, and they ended up upholding the cap. So that brings her non-economic damages down then from roughly $16 million to $750,000.
Let's bring in Gary now, joining us from Ripon. Gary, hi.
Hello. Well, my comment is I was once married to a medical doctor, and I can tell you that at least the doctors we associated with, they just loathe. I mean, they literally loathe lawyers in the whole malpractice industry. There were even one or two of them that just simply quit medicine because they said I worked my butt off to try to do the right thing by the patient, and then in the end I got sued. So that's the other side of the coin, and you're never going to be able to make a system where absolutely every case has a 100% desirable outcome. I mean, the person that called in about her father was a tragic case, but she doesn't know that the same thing wouldn't have happened if the doctor had come in.
Gary, thanks for the call. You know, physicians do, though, carry quite a bit of malpractice insurance. They have to, right, David?
Yes, they do. It varies from state to state. So in Wisconsin, because of this fund that we've been talking about, doctors don't have to carry as much malpractice insurance as some doctors in other states. So in Wisconsin, they have to carry private insurance to cover up to $1 million of a payout. But then anything over $1 million is covered by this state fund. So doctors say that makes Wisconsin a good place to practice because liability insurance premiums are generally a lot less here than in other states. And you're right that a lot of doctors don't like lawyers, malpractice attorneys, but, you know, I guess that's what the courts are for and juries are for, to determine, you know, which side should prevail.
Let's go to Maddie in De Pere now. Maddie, hi.
Hi. How do you find a lawyer who will take a case? I actually spoke on the Larry Miller show a few weeks ago about suing a doctor, and they said that they only win about 20% of the time, and so most lawyers don't want to take that kind of a case.
Maddie, thanks. We're short on time, Maddie. I want to get David to respond here to that. Is it difficult to find a malpractice attorney to take your case?
A lot of people say it is, and malpractice attorneys would say they have become more selective in accepting cases in recent years because of these caps and the fund and sort of the general attitude of the public that they tend to rule in favor of the doctor. So attorneys are more likely to take cases where they see a potential large payout than a case that might just have a small payout. And those tend to be cases involving young children who are injured but survive because they're going to have really high medical costs and loss of earnings in the future, like the one I recently wrote about in Madison.
So as we wrap up here in the last few seconds, how common are malpractice cases here in Wisconsin? Are they becoming less common since the Supreme Court's ruling?
I don't know that. Certainly, jury awards against doctors and payments against doctors are fairly rare in Wisconsin. But in terms of how many suits are filed to begin with, I'm not exactly sure what the trend is. But I hear that it's going down.
David, thank you for joining us.
Sure. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
David Wahlberg is a health and medicine reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal. We've been looking at medical malpractice suits here in Wisconsin and the compensation fund. Coming up, we'll talk with a political scientist about the latest twists and turns after the Mueller investigation. We'll get up to speed after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.